every couple of weeks we speak with someone from the Sydney Adventist Hospital, where they harness the latest advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and care that you deserve. And they have great professionals there at the SAN, as it's known. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I'm going to speak with someone I've had a number of conversations with over the years, because they reckon in 2023 there'll be around 20,500 breast cancer cases diagnosed in females. As of September this year, they say a staggering 50% of women aged 50 to 74 are behind on their breast cancer screenings. That's in New South Wales alone. So I thought I'd go to Associate Professor Sandra Krishnan. She's an oncoplastic breast surgeon from the SAN. And the question is how important it is to catch these things early, because ultimately every time I have a conversation about these dreadful, wicked conditions, catching it early is critically important. Here is Associate Professor Sandra Krishnan.
Good evening, John.
It's logical early detection. I'm guessing you would be talking to people regularly and having that conversation that if they'd detected it earlier, things would have been different. So it is so important, isn't it?
Absolutely, John. You know, early detection basically means options for the patient, options for the surgeon. You know, just late last year, one of my best friends found the tiniest pea-sized lump in her breast. And because it was so small, she could quickly get on to the treatment that she needed, yep, which meant less invasive surgery, less invasive treatments, chances of reduced or even no chemotherapy sometimes. So yes, early is 100% something to aim for.
Can we use that as an example, if you don't mind? So how much longer would that person or someone who finds something very small, how much longer would they wait and have it grow to a point where it's going to be very serious?
So everyone's different, John. And I wrote a blog piece about this a few years ago, because I had one patient who literally felt a lump and she thought, my screening's due in 5 months, why don't I wait? And so she waited and went for screening, and by then the lump was 4 centimeters. Whereas someone else might say, I'm feeling something right now, I'm going to book in and see my GP. So there's a real difference between what we say screening, yep, when someone doesn't feel anything, they are absolutely asymptomatic and they go and get checked. And this is versus someone who feels something, then there should be basically zero wait time.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing the message you're giving, we talk about screening, the idea of making it an annual thing for people over the age of 40 or 50, are we saying? And then that regular checking as well. That's what you're saying?
Yes, yeah, so screening is essentially 2 yearly and annually in a high-risk patient, but the rest of us have 2 yearly screening.
Right.
And screening is where we get mammograms and get a single view of a snapshot of what's going on. And if you think about it, that's 2 yearly. So what's happening in between? That's when we're encouraging women to have a feel, check themselves, know their body. And you've got to do it a couple of times so that you're really quite familiar with, you know, the lumpiness of our body per se, yeah, of our breasts, and then you can feel something different.
I want to get to men in just a moment, but from the point of view of what we now know, because every time we talk, I'm guessing you know a little bit more, but still nowhere near enough. So how much do we know now about what it is that causes it? We know about the genetic stuff that's really important, but what actually is it physically that causes it and starts it?
John, interestingly, genetics is a very small percentage, plays a very small role, only up to about 5 or even 10%.
Oh, really? Okay, yep.
Cancers run in the families, and about 4% have actually proven genetic mutation there. Most of it is what we call sporadic, where it just occurs randomly. And we do know that there are certain things we can do to reduce our risk, reduce obesity, increase exercise, reduce alcohol. A general healthy living will reduce our risk. But sporadic breast cancer, like other sporadic cancers, just occur in the community.
Just occur, yeah. And you still, I mean, that's the point. be as healthy and keep your body in as good a shape as possible, but it's still very random, as you say, and it can it start reasonably quickly and then grow quite quickly, particularly in people, say, who are much older?
Well, actually, it's the opposite. So it can start and grow quickly. It tends to be more aggressive in the younger woman rather than the older woman. And the one that's going to grow quick as opposed to the one that's slow and, you know, sort of very slow growing, that all depends on the biology of the cancer. And that's the luck of the draw, which type of cancer it's going to be. So someone can come in and say, I noticed it 3 weeks ago and it's already this big. Whereas another person might say it's been there for 2 months.
Yep.
It hasn't really grown that much. So that's, but generally speaking, the younger woman, which is why we try to emphasize sometimes for the younger woman, because not only do they get the aggressive cancers, they tend to be at the peak sort of moment in their life where they're working, families, young children, caring for adults, and then there's fertility issues, early menopause, you know. So the impact is quite high in the younger woman.
Yeah, you know? And all the things you've just described could make things, all right, I'll put that off till next week, next month, whatever. I'll prioritize it low because I think I'm pretty healthy. And that can be disastrous.
Absolutely, John. You won't believe the number of women I have just before theater, and their biggest concern is how my kids are tonight. How are my kids going to be tomorrow morning? So, you know, mums are mums.
Yeah, of course. So whatever age, women need to be checking and doing the checking of their breasts, that physical checking. And you're saying, what, from 40 on, it should be a biannual screen. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the biannual screen is 50 plus.
Yep.
And we get, you know, a present, or we get a little note in the mail reminding us to do it. Mm. And for the 40 pluses, if they're high risk, if they should know their own risk and then present to their GP or present for screening. Anyone younger, even someone like my daughter who's in her mid-20s, everyone should be aware, breast aware. We should know what our breasts feel like no matter how old we are, say from puberty onwards, and get into a habit of just checking ourselves, say once every couple of months, know how you feel. Because, you know, next week I'm operating on 3 women with breast cancer, and all 3 are under 40.
Yeah. So if you feel anything, you go straight to the GP.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes. What about men then? You know, I sort of feeling right now, and I'm thinking to myself, well, is there, you know, do I regularly? I don't know. What should I be doing? What should we be doing?
Well, as far as breast cancer is concerned, men represent about 1%.
Right.
Chance of getting breast cancer. Yeah. There are other cancers that are certainly more prevalent for men. And so there's no real data to show that screening is effective or useful for men. But what I would say is absolutely yes, especially a man who's high risk, let's say there's family history of breast cancer or a proven gene mutation or even past history, then yes, they get screened. But the rest of men, like all of us, I think be aware of your own body and have a check.
Yep.
The problem with men, again, just like the younger women, not the problem with men, sorry, the problem with breast cancer in men is that because they have very little breast tissue, the cancer tends to spread pretty quickly to the skin or to the muscle.
Right.
And so it can get advanced pretty quick.
That makes sense. So getting screening, I know you've got SAN Breast Care there at the SAN Hospital for those who are in the Sydney area, but people then, what's the procedure if someone should get screened? Do you go to your GP first? Do you go and get screened? What do you do?
So someone is completely well, they haven't felt anything at all, they can just join the screening program, which is there all over every state, all over the country we have. And it'd be nice to really up those screening numbers. These are patients who do not feel anything, and we call them asymptomatic. But someone who feels something, and that could be a lump, that could be soreness, nipple discharge, or lump in the armpit even, they're the ones who either present to their GP, present to a professional, and get referred on for further imaging. And you mentioned the SAN. It's my favorite one of my favorite departments in the SAN, because that comprehensive breast care center with our breast radiologists and our breast care nurse, they literally handhold patients, you know, right from screening up to biopsy. It's very thorough. So I'm a little biased, but yep. That's my go-to place.
Yeah, and you're an oncoplastic breast surgeon, so I'm assuming that means you go in, you remove the cancers, and then you reshape, you do a lot of work, which I guess as the years have gone on, you can do so much more.
Yes, so much more. In fact, we have some women saying, oh my gosh, I like the silver lining.
Yep, you know, there you go. But you got to get it early. That's the point, isn't it?
Yes, you got to get it early. You got to be aware. And there's so many women who check themselves because a friend got it. So we hear something in the news and then we check. Yep. So let's make it a regular thing. Let's just check ourselves like we do everything else in a routine way. Yep. And I think that's the most important.
I suspect every time we talk, there are people that do that and go, you know, have a check. And then there are people who might be, you know, saying, what about, you know, within the family going, have you checked, you know, giving someone a nudge? So it helps, doesn't it? Certainly helps.
Yes. The more we can get the message out there and tell people that we're doing it, you know, I'm so guilty, John. I put mine off because I was so busy with work and my parents and, you know, everything. And I put it off until I felt so ashamed, because what if something is found and here's this oncoplastic breast surgeon at the SAN who has not done it. So I promptly went and did mine, and so now at least I can rest knowing that I've done my imaging and I'm going to do my checking, because I don't want to get caught out.
So even you, this is the thing. So that's why these are really important conversations. I appreciate that tonight. We'll talk. I guess we're going to keep talking regularly. One day we'll have the conversation about the massive breakthrough, because I'm sure there are researchers working on all of this all over the world right now, and you must be waiting for that day as well.
That'll be really nice when we can get the number really, really down.
Yep. Thank you for your time tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Nice talking to you.
Associate Professor Sandra Krishnan. We speak with her on a regular basis. Make no apologies when we visit things like breast cancer, motor neurone disease, brain cancer, any of these intractable conditions. Make sure people do what they can to get it as quickly as possible. But then these great professionals that are working really, really hard to minimise the impact on people, and then all the researchers, we wish them Godspeed and whatever else, if whatever you believe in, to try and get some results and maybe some breakthroughs.